let the record reflect that it is 2:07 p.m. Thursday, December 13th, 2012, and that this meeting is taking place at the Anchorage LIO office on the second floor conference room. In attendance are Pam Varney, the Executive Director of LAA, Sante Leash, Recorder, Legal Director Doug Gardner, Human Resource Manager Skiff Lobaugh, IT Manager Curtis Corthier, and Finance Manager Jessica Geary, and Kathy Tilton, the Administrative Assistant to the Council. Also, Procurement Officer Tina Strong, Print Shop Officer John Wright, Legislative Auditor Chris Curtis, Budget and Audit Staff Representative Pauline Swanson, and Discovery Preschool Director Blue Schreiber will be joining us via teleconference. At this time, I'll go ahead and have roll call. Senator Betty Davis. Senator Dennis Egan.
Present.
Senator Donnie Olson. Senator Lyman Hoffman. Senator Bert Stedman. Senator Gary Stevens.
Here.
Senator Linda Menard, present. Senator Joe Thomas. Representative Alan Osterman.
Here.
Representative Mike Chenault.
Here.
Representative Bob Heron. Representative Bob Heron. Representative Lindsey Holmes.
Here.
Representative Craig Johnson.
Here.
Representative Bill Stoltz. Representative Peggy Wilson.
Here.
And Representative Bill Thomas. Okay, next we'll have approval of the agenda. Are there any corrections or addition to the agenda?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Egan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we've had discussions about this, but I would like to add one more item to the agenda, agenda item number 14 that deals with the award of RFP 581 regards repairs and alterations to the State Capitol building.
Okay, just as a correction, item number 14 never was on the agenda that we sent out.
I would just like to add.
Yes, okay.
I do. I would just like to add an agenda item.
Okay, thank you. And I object to that. I'm not going to allow that. Okay.
And I have a vote. Madam Chair. Well, I make a motion that we add agenda item number 14 to discuss in executive session, Legislative Council's award of RFP 581, Alaska State Capitol Design Services.
Representative, second, okay.
Discussion.
Third executive session, okay. I will take a vote on that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
I've got a question in reference to the motion. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Correct.
The executive session portion of it, is there some problem with this RFP that needs to go to executive session?
No. Madam Chair, Representative Osterman, I'm just assuming because it was awarded on RFP, we have to go into executive session. I may be wrong. We may just be able to go ahead and award the RFP.
Suggest that Senator Egan amend this motion just to add it to the agenda, and I think it'd be appropriate if it's added that the motion be made and for the stated statutory under statutory purposes why we do it. So I think it'd be a cleaner motion just to make a motion to add it. And the second part would be if it's passed, it would be a subsequent motion.
Thank you. I'll agree to that.
Okay, would you restate that?
I would just like to add agenda item number 14, and it's RFP.
You have to read it because they did not get that in their final pack, in their packet that went out to them.
Right. I would like to add an agenda item number 14.
Doesn't he have to pull the other motion first before he makes another one?
I'll just amend my existing. I move that Legislative Council discuss at the end of the agenda item, another item, item number 14, to talk about a bid award to Jensen Durable Lot, bid award number RFP number 581, and discuss it as item number 14 at the end of the meeting.
Discussion.
Question. Just is staff prepared to present this? I mean, are we certain the staff has the information they need to present this?
Madam Chair.
You want to speak?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Johnson, we do have the building manager, we also have the architect, head architect from Jensen Durable Lot, Wayne Jensen is here, and Pat.
That's good enough, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that there were the people here to handle the business. Thank you.
And I would clarify that that is not on the state dollar. He is here on his own dollar, the architect. So,
even better.
Right, sorry.
However, that item is a concern to me because I did have discussion with the incoming new chairman for Ledge Council, and that's, of course, Representative Hawker, and he would prefer to handle this at the next meeting, which would be about in 3 weeks in Juneau. So I am believing that's the correct way to handle it. I am being respectful that you have more than enough time, and so that's why I did not want to deal with this in executive session.
Question.
Okay, call
for can I ask a question?
Withdraw my.
No. I just wanted to see if what it takes to pass or fail this. We've only got 9 members, right? So is it simple 5 majority? I had 9.
And you've got to have 8.
You have 8.
Okay.
I show 15 members on the committee.
15 on the committee.
Well, 14 members on the committee.
7-7.
14 members, 2 alternates.
So you need 8.
So we take
8. Yes, Representative Stoltz.
Yeah, I've been a critic of a lot of the additions and renovations, ancillary to the Capitol and other adjunct buildings. I think I have a pretty clear record. I talked to Senator Egan, and he convinced me that this ought to at least be discussed. When I amended the motion, and similarly, I probably had a little more leverage because I think I was the 8th vote here, but we added life safety issues, and that's my primary concern, and this is probably... right now, the building is far less occupied. I was just down in Juneau, and it's pretty much a ghost town in that Capitol building. It's a good time to do this kind of stuff. The preliminary work is when we're not there. But the primary reason is that there's life safety issues, which was my concern and why I supported the motion. I don't want this to be construed in any type of effort for me not favoring dislodging the location, but it's purely on the life safety issues, which we added to the issue, and let's get to those issues as quick as we can. And if the guys here are working for free today, I'd rather hear them for free than we're paying them.
And this Ledge Council, Representative Stoltz, has gone on record of being very supportive as well. We've already spent $150-some. It's not that. I know you do respect Representative Hawker, and he is more than capable, since there is not a deadline till February to handle this issue. So with that, I guess I'll just take – anybody else want to speak to this? Okay. Okay, and we also have Representative Bob Heron now online. Welcome, Bob. Well?
Yes, hello, Madam Chair.
Okay, so we're taking the vote. Are you keeping up with this, or do I need to recap a little bit?
No, I've been listening.
Okay. So now we're going to take a vote. Let's start. Representative Alan Osterman?
Yes.
Representative Mike Chenault?
Yes.
Representative Bob Heron?
Yes.
Representative Lindsay Holmes?
Yes.
Representative Craig Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Bill Stoltz?
Yes.
Representative Peggy Wilson?
Yes.
Representative Bill Thomas isn't on, and Joe Thomas isn't. Representative Linda Menard, Senator Linda Menard, that would be a no. Senator Gary Stevens?
Yes.
And Senator Dennis Egan?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, it passes. We'll put that on the agenda.
Yeah, sure.
Against my wishes, I'll go on record. Okay, let's move on. Now, can we approve the agenda as amended, as added?
Madam Chair, I move Ledge Council approve the agenda as amended.
Okay, seeing no objections, the agenda is approved as presented. Minutes. Presented for approval are the July 25th, 2012 regular meeting minutes. May I have a motion approving the minutes?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the July 25, 2012 minutes as presented.
Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none? No objections. The minutes are approved as presented. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is the Barrow office space approval. So the existing Barrow office space sublease will expire this December 31st, 2012, with 4 one-year renewal options remaining. This lease renewal would run until January 1st, 2013 to December 31st, 2013 for a total cost of $32,818.29. This equals $5.03 per square foot, 290.
I'm sure 32 million?
32,800.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my heart was
beating. I'm sorry.
We are moving the capital.
I'm sorry. There was a zero put on. I can show you it was in here. This equals $5.03 per square foot for the space. Procurement officer Tina Strong can answer any questions. Remember earlier I said she's on teleconference. May I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the sublease extension renewal agreement for the existing Barrow lease space for $32,818.20 with Arkett Slope Telephone Association Cooperative, Inc.
You, sir, it's $32,000. It's very expensive. Is there any discussion?
I have one quick question.
Okay, question. Go ahead. Representative Holmes.
Thank you. The question is with a new representative. Who is going to be based out of Barrow. We've had Representative Jewell based out of Cotsfield in the past, and now we have Representative Nahiak out of Barrow. Is this going to be enough space for all of Barrow's needs?
And then I would ask our executive director, or Tina, Pam, I think it's more efficient if you come up and answer that, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Pam Varney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. I do not have the floor plans in front of me, but and I'm not sure how much staff the new representative will have. And that is one thing that we could certainly check on. And Tina, do you know the floor plan arrangement at the Barrow LAO? I believe what
I'm online. Did you want me to answer that?
Yes, I believe it's Senator Olson used to have one desk there. Is that correct?
For the record, this is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for Legislative Affairs Agency. Yes, there was an office. The LIO has an office, and then he has a large teleconference room that we've set up a desk for at this location in the past.
satisfied?
He's got a desk and a phone and everything there, but not an individual office.
Okay, I guess, Madam Chair, I'd just be curious as to whether there's a plan going forward, since I would assume that Representative Blackmagnac would have his main office in Dallas. We're going to have to work through that at some point. I guess there's probably not that much of a worry until May, or April or May, but come April or May, just to be aware there might be some adjustments that might need to be made.
I'm sure the powers to be will handle that when we get down that road. We've had lots of different concerns in small communities. My memory goes to Representative Feige, who is out by himself, too. And so, you know, you have to work through this, and it comes before the full committee to decide what they need, I guess. Okay. All right, let's go on then. Let's see. Is there any discussion any further? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, that motion is approved. Discovery Preschool. Extension of the Discovery Preschool contract would cause the contract to be renewed for a term of 1 year beginning December 30th, 2012. The terminating of December 30th, 2013, leaving 1 year renewal remaining. Discovery Preschool Director Blue, are you in the audience? Oh, she's online. Okay. Trevor is standing by to answer any questions. So could I have a motion for this renewal?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the 1 year renewal with Discovery Preschool LLC beginning December 30th, 2012 and terminating on December 30th, 2013.
Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Osterman.
Just an explanation as to where this is at and how just how we got into this kind of contracting purpose.
Just well, I have a little bit of history, but certainly not as skilled to recall it as LAA Executive Director Pam Varney. Come up, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Osterman, this was a Legislative Council decision back when we acquired this building from the city, and it was found that there is a great need when members come in for 120 days or the 90 days, and they require child care, and it has been a critical situation for many years in Juneau with a shortage of daycare providers. Since this program has been in the Thomas Stewart building, we are assured with this contract there is no money changing hands between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Discovery Preschool. Those financial arrangements are between the individual parents and Discovery Preschool. We do provide the office space just like the federal building does. It has been very successful, and a number of our legislators and our legislative staff participate in this. Not only do they set aside so many spots every session for members and legislative staff coming in with their children, but it is a year-round operation. We use a certain percentage of the child care, and then it is the state, city, and the public that use this facility. And Blue has been an excellent director, and she's online. And Blue, if you'd like to add something.
Madam Chair, I can add a little bit to the history.
I just wanted to see, did you have a follow-up first?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was on the record as to what we were doing.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A little bit of the history. And Senator Stevens might have been in the meeting. It was about this time of year in 2008, and we had a bare quorum. The motion failed to approve it. Senator Wilkins said, well, I'll change my vote. He was in his nexus from his legislature. We lost our quorum, and then Chairman said, well, we had a quorum before, so let's just pretend we did, and it was approved. But seven votes, but that was the history, and I should have said something more then, but I was rolled, so, but that's a little...
Like I was just now.
Oh, no? I don't know if you were rolled. No, I'm talking about rolled as there was an illegal vote. That's, I don't think the two votes are any way similar. One of them was a duly constituted majority, and the other was there was not a majority, and there was And Senator Stevens, you remember, you may remember that meeting. But,
you have a better long-term memory than I do.
It was on the fifth floor. We were in a conference room upstairs. But anyway, that's a little bit of the history. So
thank you.
It started on a real firm foundation.
Thank you for that historical.
As a matter of fact,
is there any other further discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
With the majority this time.
Okay, next we have a little stickler, the late per diem approval. There are four requests for late filed per diem on this agenda. They are as follows. First one, Senator Dennis Egan in the amount of $347.33. For travels to Anchorage from Juneau on August 20th, I assume that's 2012.
Yes.
Okay, to attend the Senate Health and Social Services meeting. Next, Representative Kurt Olson in the amount of $576.21 to travel to Anchorage from Soldotna to attend meetings for members of the Department of Administration. The third one is Representative Mike Chenault in the amount of $644.32 for travels from Kenai to Fairbanks to speak to Alaska Builders and Contractors and Interior Groups. And last but not least is Representative Scott Kawasaki in the amount of $3,296.50 for travels from Fairbanks to Chicago to attend the NCSL annual meeting. The current policy reads that the request must be submitted within 60 days, after which the request is considered very late and would need to go before the council. I would like to suggest that the incoming council consider revising the policy to add additional time, as it's been my experience that meeting after meeting after meeting we're dealing with this. So I would like to suggest either 6 months or a full year, because we are not abiding by this 60 days in any shape or form. So during my time, at least there's been, I won't even go in that. Finance manager, just Gary, can answer any of your questions. No questions? Then I have a motion.
I'll wait till there's a motion, then I'll discuss.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the late per diem request for Senator Egan, Representative Olson, Representative Chenault, and Representative Kawasaki.
Okay, then now there's discussion. Representative Stoltz.
Chair, I have a concern. I'm looking at one of the members from Fairbanks. It's a $3,200-some-dollar trip taken in August. Some call those junkets in the public. You know, I think you're during an election cycle, when you put off reporting that you've spent a bunch of money on a trip, it's certainly something that the public might criticize on you. I find that a little bit distasteful, that people, because they know they can game the system and wait and turn it in later. Well, I don't want to become an election issue that I was out in Chicago or I was in Bermuda or I was in Norway. You can hide that information and say, oh, I'm not going to turn this in until after the election. I think the public is very ill served. These others are pretty de minimis. They're in-state travel, people coming in during meetings, but when we get into that area that the public has labeled as majority on the junketing, I think that's when you wait till after the election to turn in your, and there's not even a reprimand. You can do it again next election. I find it very, very, I find it troublesome. And especially people that might be in a tough election, they don't want to report that all the expenditures they did. I think we're enabling potentially bad behavior. I'm trying to say, it just happens to be one. It's a big amount.
And I would concur to saying that I think any reasonable person would agree that a large revision has to be looked at in this particular policy. But now that you're here at the table, please identify yourself for the record. And
Madam Chair, members of the council, for the record, my name is Jessica Geary. I'm the finance manager for legislative affairs. And when the 60-day policy was first adopted back in 1989, one of the main reasons was kind of to withhold. The IRS is considering us to be running an accountable plan, and that you are submitting receipts to us, and there is those should be received by us within 60 days. And, you know, there's going to be exceptions to that rule, but that was one of the main contributing factors to coming up with that 60-day deadline. There's other things to consider, such as our office is very busy, and when we get travel claims, we would like them to show up on the calendar year for your guys' annual Elbers report. We would like those to show up in the year that they take place. There's also fiscal year issues and trying to pay claims out of the correct fiscal year. So that's the 60 days was kind of determined just to, and I understand that, you know, sometimes things get lost, and though having that time lengthened might be helpful, there's also reasons why the 60 days was originally chosen. And for the most part, if you look over the history of all the late per diem claims, it hasn't been, I know it seems like there's a lot, but if you consider the amount of travel that actually takes place, I think for the most part, each legislator does a really good job getting their travel paperwork turned in a very timely fashion. So that was just what I wanted to say about the policy.
Okay, Senator Stevens.
I'd just like to speak against changing the policy. You know, we worked hard to bring all of the reports. Some reports were due within 30 days. I think a gift of travel had 30 days. And it was really confusing for us and for the staff to try to make sure that we put those reports in at the right time. I think 60 days is the right amount of time. And if I had 6 months, I'm afraid I wouldn't turn it in until 6 months. This forces us to be better at turning these reports in. So I think...
If I had 6 months, I'd suck it up. And I wouldn't turn it in because that's really behind the rules. So, I mean, it becomes a thing of ethics. Where do you fall and, you know, how much do you feel you can come back a year later?
I just don't think we should be changing the policy. I mean, 60 days is right.
And I'm sure I see Pauline here. She can certainly share with Rep. Hawker, who will be the new incoming chair, that might be something you'll agenda and put rest to it. But for today's purposes, we're just dealing, are we going to approve this per diem, late per diem? And is there any other discussion, by the way? Okay. Can I have a motion, please? Oh, I'm sorry. And there's no further discussion. Is there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is...
I'm going to maintain my... I'm going to object.
Okay.
And I would like to amend the motion that these be deferred, especially the amount of travel that was declared, the large junket that was declared after the election. You know, that's... I think all these parties, I want them to make their case... give them time to prepare. I'm not trying to show.
Are you suggesting that all four be deferred?
Yeah, I don't want to cherry pick one, but and it's the other number. I probably will lose this motion, but I'd rather, if we're going to investigate,
making that as a motion.
I will offer that as an amendment to defer these to the next meeting.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Made for second.
I'll make a second.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Is there objection?
Is there objection?
Okay,
there's an objection.
I didn't read it.
Okay, now we have to vote on it because there's been an objection. So,
And Madam Chair, if I...
Representative Al Hosterman.
If I lose this amendment, I'll withdraw my objection. I don't want to make this tedious.
I understand. Representative Al Hosterman.
No.
Representative Mike Chenault.
No.
Representative Bob Heron. Bob... puts women in Hawaii. Bob. I guess we lost him. Representative Linda Holmes. Lindsay.
No.
Representative Craig Johnson.
No.
Representative Bill Stoltz.
Yes.
Representative Peggy Wilson.
No.
Bill Thomas isn't here. Senator Dennis Egan, no.
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 Want to be reappointed?
Senator Gary Stevens.
In support of the speaker, I vote no.
Senator Linda Menard, no. Okay. So you want to withdraw your...
I didn't make it up.
Okay, failed. Okay. So now we're just voting on the main motion. Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay, then the motion is approved. Let me take a deep breath on this one. Oh, jeez. LAA Group, this is the comp time policy approval. So currently the comp compensatory time policy for nonpartisan employees is different among departments. And this has been kind of a bugaboo for LAA for a while. At the last legislative budget and audit meeting, a comp policy was adopted that will treat legislative finance division and the legislative audit division policy the same. We all like to be treated the same. The proposed policy change before you would bring the Legislative Affairs Agency comp policy in line with the one adopted by LBNA and thereby treating all the nonpartisan employees equally. Human Resource Manager Skip Loba is here to speak to this. May I have a motion, or do you want to come up and speak to this? Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Just state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Skip Loba, Legislative Affairs Agency personnel.
Thank you. Okay, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the proposed compensatory time policy for the Legislative Affairs Agency nonpartisan employees that are consistent with legislative finance and legislative budget and audit nonpartisan employees effective immediately.
Is there any discussion? Okay. Sure. Senator Gary Stevens.
So partisan employees do not have comp time, but under this new policy, everyone who's nonpartisan will come under the same rules. That's correct.
Through the chair, Senator, yes, the nonpartisan would be for, right, the entire legislature, because Ledge Council is the last one to adopt the same policy, yes.
And, you know, I've felt ever since I've taken chair of Ledge Council that this has been a concern, and it's the first time that we've actually gotten around to putting it in front of the full committees to be voted on. So do you feel that this is the correct direction that we're...
Yes, Madam Chair. This would bring us all in line. It'd be a very fair, equitable thing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay. And Representative Holmes, did you have something?
Madam Chair, I apologize. I did actually read the packet, so I probably read this already. But the if you could just talk really quickly about how long the other departments have been under this policy and how that's been working.
Well, the other departments started under this policy through the chair, September 5th of this specific policy. However, prior to that, there were three different policies which had different amounts of hours, and so it just came about with the legislative auditor was wanting to get the policies all in line, and so they went to budget on it. Right after it passed budget on it, I approached Madam Chairwoman, and she agreed to agenda. So it's not been long. We've worked the policy for quite a few years with the different directors to try to make sure it was something that would work within everybody's division.
Okay, may I have a motion? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that question. Is there any discussion? Okay. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Skip, it's just way to ask the question, as I guess just ask it. Is there any financial implications in this? Is it going to cost us more?
It will not cost us more, very simply because we have it's use it or lose it. If they don't use it by the end of the year, they lose it. And it's part of the policy.
Okay, are you satisfied? Okay. So seeing no more discussion, are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, then the motion is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I have a question for you after, so don't run away. Thank you. Number eight is informational services item. This is the domain change, name change, and this is something we've been trying to tackle for a while, and I thought of it last year, and we were able to secure a new domain name, but it was certainly everybody's feeling that we should wait till after the election because those long email addresses are already out there, and so this was the appropriate time, and God love it, how successful. It's just AKLEG. But anyway, most legislators have asked about the possibility of changing the legislative email addresses to something shorter. After considerable consideration, deliberation, and study, which included researching other state legislators' email address, the IT subcommittee was determined that the akleg.gov is the best combination of a short and descriptive domain. IT manager Curtis Carthier is here to speak to this change, and we want you to know that there is a certain amount of time that the old name will pop up as well as the new short name, so that's very pertinent information to put under your bonnet right now. So, let's have the motion and then we'll see.
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the Alaska Legislature domain name change to akleg.gov.
Is there any discussion?
So,
yes, Senator Stevens.
I'm just a little concerned because of stationery and calling cards and all that with the old address on it. How long will it be before that change occurs and those are no longer responded to?
For the record, my name is Curtis Clothier. I'm the Information Services Manager for Legislative Affairs. Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, we intend to keep the old address good for 1 year, essentially till December 31st of 2013. In order for offices to be able to transition their constituents and contacts to get them, you know, familiar with the new name, as well as allow you to transition your letterhead and email and stationery and all those items as well. In short, that's the answer.
And I would just add, I remember very clearly when I first started 4 years ago in as being a legislator, I was standing behind waiting to sign in on a very seasoned, longtime legislator, and I didn't correct him, but he had it all messed up because it's really easy to, you know, by the time if you got something else just spinning around in your brain and you're just trying to write in and hurry up and get into the conference and get your seat. It is a problem, so I think this is going to find it's going to be very user-friendly. So is there any more discussion? Okay, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam. Thanks, Curtis. How long will we own the domain name that we're abandoning?
For the record, we will own it for as long as we want to pay for it. The domains generally cost $100 a year, so we can keep paying for the name we're not using for several years, just in order to make sure that there's no confusion or any legacy systems that are out there referring to us will still be directed to us. A couple of things I would like to mention about this process. If you approve it today, we can have the new names available to be used next week. We have to do some things in our systems in the background to make it happen. We will need to send an email, which I will do to all users, telling them that in order to send from your new address, you'll need to go into Outlook and change a few fields, which is something we can do as well from us. Our IS staff will go over and help folks, but it's a fairly simple change, so we can get it going fairly quickly. There will be a few issues that will come along over the course of the year. Now, the executive branch changed email addresses several years ago. One issue that was fairly large for them continues to come up is websites and maybe newsletters where you're subscribed to with your old address. You'll need to go to those sites over the course of the new year and change your address so it reflects the new one. If you don't do that, once the old address goes away, you'll no longer get that email. on the good side, you'll no longer get that spam that's coming to your old address as well. But there will be some things, there will be some things you'll want to come. So you'll need to, over the course of the year, and we'll send out reminders to people, and we'll do education to try and make this as smooth as possible over the year.
And I would just add, too, that I remember clearly we had discussed that it's possible that we could put a take a small ad out in the newspapers, too, to say that, you know, just heads up or alert, we have new, a very short new email for all legislators. So, and then I think the subcommittee suggested that we secure that domain when we talked about it last year. And we had a whole list, and like I said, we studied every state. And the ones that were the most appealing were the ones that were between three letters and to six or something. Not three, I'm sorry, five to six.
Yes, as background, the address we currently use was a standard for many years. And a lot of legislatures still use it, but a lot of legislatures have also changed to something similar to what we're doing. As part of this project, we're also going to be changing our domain name for our web address. Right now, you go to www.legis and you go to our main internet site. We will, over the course of the year, also be changing that. And likewise, the old address will work for a long time as well. So it'll be consistent, not only our website, but our email addresses.
I think it's a tie, but Senator, since you're Senator...
Just for
Senator Stevens.
You're running the committee for one more week.
Yeah, just a question. It's sort of been laughable when you give someone your email. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. So when we're making this change, would it also be appropriate to instead of having my full name, could you just say G. Stevens? Can we shorten that at the same time? And maybe other folks will want to do it as well.
Through the chair, Senator, we don't currently have a plan for doing that, but it's certainly something we could do at a later date. We do intend to keep, for instance, your new email address will be senator.gary.stevens@aklake.org. We won't be using an underscore going forward. Currently, we have underscores. That'll go away. That won't be an option. And we'll send Senator and Sen will still work, and Representative and Rep will still work. We'll get rid of the underscores. As far as the names, we're planning on keeping them exactly the same, but we can, you know, make that change.
Another great item for Paul Lynn to mention to Representative Hawker. Okay, thank you. And I also, Representative Johnson, and then Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along the same lines, I encourage us to keep the domain as long as we can. I hate for someone to come in and buy it later and start seeing that Craig Johnson at legis.state.
Absolutely.
And good point. So I'd like to keep that 10 years. I mean, if it's $100 a year, I'd like to keep that as long as we possibly can to avoid anyone from coming in and doing anything weird. And since we're keeping it that long, why can't we extend to 2 years the amount of time it's forwarded?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, we certainly could. The only downside to that is the more time you give to people to do things, the longer they take to do it.
Per diem, right?
Per diem.
60 days.
Madam, and the reason, Madam Chair, is I still have stationery. I'm not changing offices. I'm still going to have cards. I won't buy stationery. I will probably, next year, I'll probably need to buy some. But there may be some that go the whole session, so.
Just you still have sweaters from high school, I know. So.
Yeah. My letter sweater. But I just encourage mainly to keep the domain so that people forget it so long that they can't come in, and we've used it long enough that someone can't come in and defraud the legislature or the
law. Through the chair, Representative Johnson, yeah, we certainly do that. And perhaps this time next year, as the if we decide to keep it at just one more year, we could reassess it at that time and decide to keep it a little bit longer. That would be suitable.
Representative Holmes, you have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it's more statements in support of what was said by both of the previous speakers, but anything we can do to make it shorter. I mean, send the senator isn't as big a deal, but when you have to actually write out representative, and when we go to configure the difference, I know that rep period works, but when you go to configure anything, you have to actually use the full representative anytime you try to configure a system. Like, I've been told whenever I go to try to configure my smartphone and link it into systems, they tell you, IS is always telling you you have to do the full representative underscore, So just to think, do we really need the full representative and the full senator out there? They're just so much longer to write, so much longer to type. They don't fit well on the lines. Just consider maybe even just only doing the one, you know, rep period and sen period. Just something to throw out there. And I would hate to see us change it again, this whole idea of we could change that later. We're all printing new stationery. If we'd all be printing new cards, new stationery. So I don't think we'd want to make this change more times. Just something to consider.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair, Representative Holmes. You can certainly advertise just the rep, and we can leave the representative title out there working. In terms of configuring systems and insisting on the longer version, I'll look into that. I'm not sure why that's the case, but thank you. We'll take a look at it.
I ask every time I've had to configure this, be sure not to use the abbreviated or the period. So you have to use the full representative and the underscore. They may be wrong, but that's what I've been told.
There may be something in the programming that makes one priority over the other. Maybe we can do something about that. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we're ready for, I don't see any objections to this motion. This is just on the akleg.gov, okay? Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I do want to point out in the Ledge Affairs letterhead, LAA personnel at legis.stateas.us. So even on their letterhead, they had the email wrong in the letter to them from Skift, so on dated September 5th. So I'm so glad we're getting rid
of it. It's Christmas. Let's not point out all the, okay, legislative budget, not at removal. This is number 9. The proposal before you is the efforts of Phase 1, the design phase for the audit space remodel and renovation as previously approved by the Council. Funding approval for Phase 2 of the project will allow the Division of General Services to commence with the bid process. Pauline Swanson, Budget and Audit Staff to Rep. Hawker, and Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor, can answer questions. May I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve an amended reimbursable services agreement with the Department of Administration in an amount not to exceed $1,200,000 for design oversight, asbestos abatement, bid preparation, project construction, and administration for the 6th floor State Office Building Legislative Audit Remodel Project. Funding is from existing legislative capital funds.
Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Okay. Representative Osterman. And I want to announce before you speak, please, Representative Bob Heron is no longer on teleconference. He's not with us now from this point on.
Back in the pool, huh?
Destroying your condo.
So if he's not there, Madam Chair, do we have a quorum with the speaker gone?
We need 8.
And Wilson is on.
And Wilson's on.
And that would be 7. Deficient in
passing.
Well,
we're not voting.
We're just
until we come to a vote.
That's not a problem. Well,
there was
an objection.
Oh, good.
Yes, so that was a motion.
Well, there was objections.
You know what? Let's just take a brief at ease and see if Representative Chenault, Representative Johnson have just stepped out for a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then Peggy, you're still on, correct? Meeting comes back to order. Peggy Wilson, Representative Wilson. Dang.
I'm here. I just had to take myself off of mute.
Oh, we so appreciate you. Thank you so much. Okay, we've got a quorum now. So, you know, Peggy, before us is this legislative budget and office remodel approval. Number 9. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, are you asking me?
No, we're just going to see about any discussion on the motion. Are there any objections to the motion? Okay. Representative Osterman.
I'm not objecting. I need some clarification. And when you read the memo, there's nothing in here that says the motion is that we're going to approve X amount of dollars to do. I'm trying to read this. So I want a clarification as to what we're really doing and what the motion really is.
Okay, Pauline.
Hi there, my name is Pauline Swanson. I'm staff to Representative Hawker in Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And just for clarification, the next phase of this project, we're considering the construction phase. So what the motion would actually do would be allow the RSA that's currently in place with the Division of General Services to be amended to include the construction phase of the project. That would include the bid preparation, the bid award, and then the construction. And the cost estimate that we got to produce the reimbursable services agreement with DGS was done by HMS Services here in Anchorage. So that's where the $1.2 million comes in. It also does include, that $1.2 million does include some of the administration costs for this project. And really one of the bigger cost drivers of the project is the asbestos abatement work that's going to have to be done in order to complete the project.
Is it in here in your box?
I'm sorry, would you state that clearly and slow, please? Thank you, Peggy. Was that her? Maybe it wasn't her.
Yeah, that's from you, Peggy.
Okay. Maybe somebody else just jumped in. Okay. Is there any...
Madam Chairman, the motion is to approve not to exceed $1.2 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. But it's specifically for design oversight, asbestos abatement, bid preparation, and
construction.
Construction.
Mm-hmm. Construction. I do have the RSA here if anybody would like to take a look at it. We didn't have it available at the time that the packet went out, but I do have that for you.
Would that be a representative if you'd like to look at it? Wasserman?
I think it would be good to have it as part of the documentation that we're doing, yes.
Yeah. I'd be happy to supply that to the committee.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any objections then to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Congratulations, and congratulations on your new job. It's official. She is moving over to the governor's office working with Heather Bates, and we'll sorely miss you.
Thank you.
But you'll be very helpful, I'm sure.
I look forward to working with you in a new position as well.
Thank you.
Was there a second part of the motion?
No, yeah, it was all in there about the money. Okay, moving right along, number 11 is the Office of Victims' Rights Software Approval. The new Executive Director, Taylor Winston, of the Office of Victims' Rights is requesting a new case management software
system. Issue
it's coming up.
Number 10 is the copier.
Oh, did I skip one? I apologize if I skipped it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I did. Can we take 11 and then go back to 10? No, just not do it. 10. Legislative print shop. I apologize to the committee. I flipped two pages instead of one. So, number 10, legislative print shop copier purchase approval. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Representative Ostrin and I would wonder if it's possible to bring Pauline Swanson back up for one quick question on the motion we just passed.
Yes, it's sure. Possible. And correctly. Okay. Pauline, please.
She may have two.
One quick question. She may have two. Okay.
I have one.
Okay. Okay, let's get rolling here. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question is, I'm looking at the documentation that was provided, and on page 2 of it, it's kind of broken down into different parts, and the $1.2 million is referenced in with the heading Phase 2 Bid and Construction Approval and Funding Needed.
Correct.
Below that, there are a couple more headings. The audit relocation to the Terry Miller Building Gym, is that included in the $1.2 million?
Through the Chair, Representative Holmes, no, it is not.
No, it is not. And the furniture and partitions below that is not either.
They are not included either.
Okay, and those will be coming...
Those will be coming, yes. I believe that as long as the move is under the $25,000 procurement code, I believe we can handle that just with existing funds. However, the furniture and partitions, that will be another item that will be coming before the Legislative Council for review and approval. The plan is to actually use a state contract that should be in place within the 2 to 3 weeks and use that state contract to actually procure those materials, but we would need funding approval through Ledge Council.
Okay. And so, Madam Chair, just to clarify, the guess at this point, best guess is that the relocation part will come in under the $25,000 limit.
The best guess at this point is yes, that's correct. And actually, Sean Hooten is here from Legislative Audit, who's done a lot of work on that move and transition, if you have additional questions for him.
And is it correct to say, as a follow-up to Representative Holmes, that it's been my experience, we do a pretty good job of going over at the warehouse and looking, and if there's anything possibly at all that we can use, we try to utilize that. I've been very involved in 2 years with getting furniture for...
Yes, Chair. The plan is actually to use the partitions that they currently have at audit and move those over into the gym space. I failed to inform you, and it's on the memo, the electrical upgrades is going to be another component that's going to come before probably the council. Don Johnson's been looking into that element to actually upgrade the electrical components within the gym space to accommodate the equipment that audit will be bringing over. Mm-hmm. So that will be one more cost that will be assessed to this project.
Okay. And I appreciate the sensitivity, because we just finished with the church building. It's just fabulous. I just can't say enough good acolytes on it. And, you know, Don Johnson has certainly did his part, but it gives people a real stomach ache when, you know, we're going through these additional calls, because we all know from our own home experience, renovation is very, very expensive. So... the more open you can be with the next coming, you know, and you are not that, you know, but just follow, keep doing that. And I think Representative Osterman has it. Representative Johnson, did you want to follow, be on deck after Representative?
Yeah.
He has to finish his first, and then I'm going to, okay, you're on deck. Okay, go ahead.
We were talking about this just because of the clarification, and we've got several different items in one document, and yet we approved only one portion of that. And in the future, if you're going to approve a $1.2 million, it should be a separate item, separate paperwork. And then we can track that, because if somebody wants to pick this up and see that I've written approved on the front face of it here, but they don't know that we didn't even address or approve any of the second portion of it. So
understood.
That's just the point.
Okay. Thank you very much. And no excuses being made, but it is the holidays and everybody's going on vacations. So we're trying to get as much in, and we will work really hard this next legislature to be in a more timely fashion. Okay.
Yes,
thank
and through this year, I did try to make sure that those are documented in the memo as well.
Okay.
This portion of today is just the RSA amendment.
Representative Johnson, before she...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is my understanding that we're paying a substantial amount of money for asbestos abatement on a tenant improvement?
That's correct.
Madam Chair, isn't that typically the landlord's responsibility?
I might have to call a lifeline here, but the Division of General Services is perhaps online. As we moved into this project, we were told that was not a tenant, or that was not a landlord responsibility on this project. And I don't know if Gareth Jones is on board online, possibly.
I believe that was at the somewhat, Pauline, that somewhat blown-up meeting that we had at Finance, and you came forward and finally remember. Mm-hmm. So
we did try to push back on that.
We pushed back, but it still, at the end of the day, it didn't come in our favor. Representative Johnson?
I'm concerned that once we bite off part of that building, we might own a lot more than we think we do, because it's all connected, it's all a fiber, it's all, and I am concerned about that aspect of this remodel. I'm prepared at this point to go back and not vote for it, to rescind our action. I think that if we're on the hook for abatement, I want some clarification in a contract as to what it is.
Does this meeting go easy?
No, ma'am. Has one ever? Why would this one be any different? I just got real concerned. I think when you start getting into asbestos abatements, you've got issues. What happens if it's contaminated and we go up another floor? I mean, I understand we're renting to ourselves, and so to speak, but I still think landlord-tenant laws should come into play, and I think we didn't push hard enough.
Well, I think it's that Gareth Jones is online.
He's perhaps online.
Yes.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, I got a mixed message here. He is not on. No.
Okay. Online. All right.
fabulous. That's certainly, you know, your prerogative to vote no on that. But
and Rep. Johnson, through the chair, Representative Hawker did push back pretty hard on the asbestos abatement issue. And it was clear that that was going to be something we were going to have to do in order to get this, if we wanted to have the renovation move forward, it was going to be a cost that we were going to have to assume.
Madam Chair, I think I'd rather buy another church. I just think that whenever you get into this kind of abatement, and if I'm the landlord, of course I'm not going to want you to, I'm going to push back on this hard, but we're tenants.
Chris Curtis is also here, legislative auditor, and perhaps she could speak to the importance of this project for her division.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the need for the project, and I know we all have shared the same concerns. The cost of it, why we would be paying for it as opposed to the executive branch. A lot of questions were asked, details about what they were abating, how it was being done, whether it could be spot abatement, whether it had to be full abatement. We asked for extensive documentation. It is a policy decision of whether we wanted to renovate the space we are in, which is the sixth floor of the state office building, or whether we looked other places. We have a staff of 30 folks in Juneau in the budget, and we live in the corner of the state office building we have for 30 years, at least. And what that gives is it gives you an audit presence in the main office building of the state. You have us sitting there. We in that office building on the 10th floor, you have admin, Department of Administration, who creates the CAFR. Ninth floor, you have all of our sunset audits, the Department of Commerce. The 11th floor, you've got Treasury and Revenue. So those are some of the main departments in the state in which we exist, you know, weekly, daily, monthly up there, your eyes and your ears. So whether it was worth the cost is definitely your decision. And all I can say is that I feel it's very important for us to have a presence in the main workings of the state and where we do our work.
So there's no room in the Capitol building because I thought that was the main.
Yes, may I rephrase that to the chair? The executive branch. We're also right next to HS&S, and we live there, for rightfully so. There's a lot of federal money, a lot of state money runs through there, a lot of important, a lot of important oversight is done in that department.
Thank you, Chris. You pitched that well. We'll let Representative Osterman have a question.
Craig raises a great point on what the cost of doing business is and who pays for it. I don't see the difference in reference to whether the legislature pays for it up front or whether they wait to receive the bill from DGS in reference to what they're going to be doing to the building anyway. We're going to pay for it either whether it's paying out of the left hand or paying out of the right hand, because it is a state building. And so I appreciate the concern, but I'm not sure that it gets us to where we would save any money in the long term.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the liability concerns me. Whose liability is it? If it's going to be somebody's liability, I'd rather it be not the legislature's. Is as much my point. The money's going to come from the same pot. I mean, that's not the issue. It's when you get into asbestos, I'd rather them have the responsibility.
With all due respect, Representative Chenault, but first, I know you got a note passed. Did you have something of high intelligence to share?
We do also have Wayne Jackson here, who is the architect on the project. He can talk about the asbestos issue. And also Representative Johnson to the chair. The way we've structured this agreement is actually it's an agreement through the Division of General Services. So the Division of General Services actually running the project, although the legislature is funding it through this reimbursable services agreement.
Okay.
Did you change your mind, Representative Chenault, about talking now?
Or about what?
You want it?
You want it? No, Madam Chairman. I voice some of the same concerns that Representative Stoltz or Representative Johnson has concerns about. You were talking about spot asbestos abatement or full abatement. I don't know what the state's policy is, but I can tell you that the state policy must just be whatever for or whatever project it happens to be, because that's all they will abate. Here, just a couple of years ago, if my memory's right, they abated the hallways on the 8th floor and I think maybe some of the other floors, and that's the only issue that they tackled at that time. It concerned me. I think that, we're all concerned about a safe and a good working place for our employees, and I don't think anyone here doesn't think that your department or the other financial departments are important in the state. So I just want you to realize that we realize where the money comes from. Madam Chairman, other than that, I like others have concerns about the landlord issues, but at the end of the day, we're still responsible for it because it's our building.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I appreciate the information. Thank you. Okay. As a reminder, they were just brought up. We had already voted on it, so this is okay. So now we're on number 10. Legislative Print Shop copier purchase approval. The Legislative Print Shop currently has 6 Xerox copy machines located throughout the Capitol in the print shop area that were purchased in 2006. The copiers have exceeded their normal 5-year life cycle and have produced a large volume of prints. The models are being discontinued by the manufacturer. We've all experienced that in our own lives, and they do no longer support the machines. Print shop manager John Wright can answer questions. May I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the purchase of 6 new copiers for the Capitol and Print Shop for the total price of $165,764 from the state's WSCA contract from existing legislative capital funds.
Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Senator Stevens, are you objecting or just?
No, I just wanted a discussion. What happens to the old copiers? Are they turned into the company, or would they go to other LIO?
They go to surplus, I believe. Or? Is that correct? We could bring LAA Executive Director Pam Varney up.
I guess the question is there any life left in them that might be of value?
Actually, Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to that. I think Tina Strong would be able to answer that.
Tina, please. Could you weigh in, please, Tina?
For the record, this is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for Legislative Affairs Agency. And John Wright actually spoke with the gentleman who does the surplus. And because Xerox will no longer service these machines, Surplus does not want them either. So we would, the Xerox company would haul them away at no cost to us.
That's good. Yes, Representative Schnell.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think we could send them to Kodiak for the landfill. I'd be curious, Madam Chairman, and I know that machines go out of style on a regular basis. I won't say I have a concern, but if we've got Xerox that's not going to continue to support their products, then I'm concerned that we're buying 4 more of their products, newer models. No, 4 more. If you're buying 4 Xerox and 2 Rizzo. Not that I have necessarily a problem with it, I just like to voice some concerns that, equipment should be, and I realize technology changes so much in just a few years, but 5 years on a copier, I've got one that's quite a bit older, but it still works, and they still service it.
Well, if I may, allow me to reassure you that I know there's nobody in that department that overlooks this stuff and studies it better than our current staff over there, because I've walked through where the copiers are, and they do their due diligence. So I'm sure if there was a possibility for a company that could guarantee that they would be good for 12 years, they would have that research. They're just that good at it. That's
Madam Chair?
Yes, Tina.
This is Representative Wilson.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Representative Wilson. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I have a question, and I'm not sure who it's due to, but I remember, might have been a couple years ago, we had several copy machines that we were going to replace because it seemed to me like it was something about their normal term of service was 5 years, and they told us how many copies each one had done, and we were getting rid of one that didn't have near the copies that that machine normally did, and so we did not okay that one to be replaced because it was still perfectly good, and even though the 5 years was up, the number of copies that were the normal copies that it would go through in 5 years was not close to it. So I'm wondering where these machines are as far as how many copies they've made, considering how old they are, because a lot of times, depending on the location in the building, we don't use them near as much. We use them during session, but then the rest of the year we don't.
Correct. And unfortunately, I think it was, and Pam can correct me, about a year ago we approached this topic, and oftentimes, and you're all chairman of different committees, you have such a weighted agenda that it was too much for the full council to grapple with, and we said we're going to postpone this. There wasn't that die-hearted necessity to deal with it, and that's why, you know, looking at this now, perhaps maybe we should have dealt with it. I think it was a year ago. It wasn't more than a year because I was Ledge Council Chair. So, but anyway, that was under my clock, and there was a lot of objection to dealing with the copiers at that time. I think we might have even went into executive session over it. I can't remember that. But Representative Osterman?
And if my memory is correct, we also discussed the advancement in electronic
right.
productions that we were doing around, and was it necessary to buy all five, and these are six of these. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a question that still hangs out there as to why. Early, if we're going to replace all six, then that means that the advancement in electronics have not changed the demand for the copy business in the legislature.
Thank you for refreshing my memory. Further, you were the big stumbling block. Now I remember. Thank you.
That was stepping stone.
It's called a stepping stone. Okay. I'll rephrase it. Okay, is there any more discussion on these copiers? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, that motion is approved. Now, office victim software approval. I don't like depressing stuff. Okay. The new executive director, Taylor Winston, of the Office of Victims' Rights, is requesting new case management software to replace the outdated software they are currently using. She is here to answer questions. Can I have a motion? And then if you'd come forward and state your name, please. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the award and expenditure not to exceed $75,000 from legislative capital funds to New Dawn Technologies for JustWare software and approve the written justification and approval under Section 040 of the Legislative Procurement Procedures.
Is there any discussion? Would you state your name, please?
Yes. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Taylor Winston. I'm the Executive Director of the Office of Victims' Rights.
Welcome. Thank you. We were with Representative Faircloth in the back room, part of your selection committee, and congratulations. And Representative Holmes, I'm very, very happy for your appointment. Is there any discussion or are there any objections to the motion then?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Stoltz.
Just very briefly, just for what this is going to do, how this is going to aid intake or patients.
Could you speak in the speaker? We can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Would you say it again, please?
I can hear it. I asked her to just briefly describe what this is for.
Oh.
Currently, we have a system, a case management system that's been in place since the office opened in 2002. And it was that particular software was really only half constructed or partially constructed, and the person who constructed it left. So we've been patching, the office has been patching it, and Shay down in Juneau has been helping us sort of limp it along. What this new software, which is uniquely designed for criminal justice agencies and government agencies, and so uniquely kind of fits our mission, like a prosecutorial or a defense office on a public level would, is going to enable us to do case management much more efficiently, in that we'll be able to search our database not only for victims' names but also for defendants' names. We will be able to make changes once we have changes to the intake. So as it stands now, when we get a case into our office and the intake is opened up and initial record is formed, we're unable to make any changes to that record. So if we later learn who the defendant is, we cannot put that into the system. If there's a finger flub that's administrative, just a typo is made, we cannot make that change. If the victim's name is longer than the allotted spaces, we cannot put in the full name. And it makes it difficult. I'll give you an example. Just this week, a victim had a concern, and I went to look for the file because I was communicating with the prosecutor. I didn't have the victim's name readily available, just the defendant's. It took us 25 minutes to find the particular file because the system would not show us that defendant's name, and we had to just hand search everything to find that file. Plus, we'll be able, through this particular system, to do basically an electronic file. Everything can be added to the electronic file, so all documents that come in, all pleadings, all telephone calls, any kind of log notes we make can be in the system, so any attorney or staff member in the office can pull up that file and see everything and not have to have the physical file in front of them. We cannot do that at this point. We have a lot of inefficiencies where staff members are taking the log notes an attorney will make and translating them into a typed document for the system. And so we'll be able to eliminate that because the attorneys will be able to do it directly. So there are a lot of efficiencies built into this new system that we don't currently have. The system is pretty unique, and it has a great growth potential for the agency. It's not something where, at least looking at it, I feel I'm going to come back in a year or two and say, we need something new and different. But this should last us for many, many years. I can see going forward at least a decade with it, because their technology is continually updating.
And we'll you're sitting in front of us saying at least 10 years.
Yes, okay. I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, in all my research.
Representative Schultz, did you?
I am a fan of this agency. If this will help them implement the constitutional rights of victims, I think it's a good idea. Yes.
Good. Thank you. Very nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you all.
So are there any objections to this motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Congratulations. 75%. What is the committee's wishes? Oh, okay, here, good, okay. Legislative procurement. Procedures, amendments, approval. That's a
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. You want a break?
No, I want to think about moving to table this. And the reason is that four of us have to leave for a meeting with the governor in 5 minutes. We have two other items that I think are important, and I want to know how critical this is that couldn't be taken up January 1st so we could get the other two items off the table. And if we have time, bring this back up. But for now, I'd like to make a tabling motion so that we can expedite this meeting a little bit so we can get some of the other critical business that I think we need to get taken care of. Okay. Since it's not debatable, but no objection to vote.
Senator Mark, Doug Gardner for Legal Services. I think that this can be considered.
It's a reasonable
time. It's on the agenda because we're obviously trying to do business, but You know, there's no worry about. There's nothing impending that we need to deal with that's going to cause a legal problem. This is sort of a cleanup. So
okay, the chair then will. Thank you very much. The chair then will table number 12, legislative procurement procedures amendment approval. Oh, brother, this one's going to take long. Office allowance option approval. And Jessica, you might as well come up. After thorough review of the allowance account guidelines of independent CPAs, professional opinion is that we are jeopardizing the accountable plan by letting legislators choose from these three options as to how they want their individual plan administered. Finance manager Jessica Geary sent out a survey. Again, she sent out the survey regarding the options and will be happy to review the results. May I have a motion?
Motion to do what? We have to accept one of the three, right?
Yeah. Okay. Jessica, do you want to talk about it quickly?
I will be as brief as I can. For the record, once again, Jessica Geary, Finance Manager for Legislative Affairs. Thank you, everyone, for the responses to the survey. Option three, which was the non-accountable option where everyone gets their money up front and then taxes are withheld. 25 of the legislators that returned their surveys preferred that option. The split option, which was a combination plan of sorts, 6 legislators preferred that option. And option one, which was the fully accountable option, where you would submit receipts to the accounting office and then no taxes would be withheld. But if you didn't spend the full amount of your allowance, whatever amount was unspent at year end would just forfeit and lapse the general fund. So 17 of the legislators preferred that option. So it was a preference for option three, the non-accountable.
From my perspective, from my point of view, when I came in, mm-hmm. and I had those options, and I've had a business for 33 years, and I've got brand new world, and it puzzled me that you had options, mm-hmm. And so I, you know, hurriedly made a choice, and I'm walking out the door, and then a more senior senator was being, no, you don't want that one. You want number one because you're going to pay. And so I quickly changed it, you know, taking the advice of his advice. Mm-hmm. But I've always been puzzled, and there's always been a little cloud. It's been some unsettling, if you will, that and then, you know, and it's interesting even around the capital amongst staff, how they'll know if their boss, their legislator, is taking the full amount right then, or, you know, because, of course, they're having them aid them and help them send in the receipts to get paid back. So mm-hmm. it's cumbersome. And so I certainly didn't expect this to come. But I can see why the CPAs are recommending that this is going to jeopardize what we need to do by law, and we're lawmakers. So,
and for a little background, we hadn't had a review of our allowance count guidelines since 2001 when they're first created. And so when I stepped into the job after Carla's departure, I had a review done, and we looked at them, and the CPA said, "Whoa, I'm going to have to look into this a little closer. You cannot be paying the full amount to the legislator if they're not spending the full amount. You can't be paying them off in the end, whether you're withholding taxes or not." And so that was the first issue. And then the option of giving each legislator a choice was the second issue, because it needs to be decided administratively, which would be by this body. And it has to be, I mean, you know, it could be changed later in the future, but it needs to be consistent for all 60 legislators.
So for like 11 years, this has been in effect?
Correct.
Okay. All good things come to an end. Okay, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to be real clear. There's an option for 8 or 16, 10 or 20. That's not what we have to
that's
decide.
Not
that
easy.
Would still be, and that doesn't affect anything that the auditor... You can choose your amount, but the way you get it is
the
what...
The way you get it is what's changing. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
representative Osterman.
Be clear on option three, when it says the payments can be made either in one lump sum or quarterly. Will that be a, will both of those options, if we take three, will both those options be available for every legislator?
Each legislator could decide whether they wanted their payment paid out. We could do it monthly, we could do it quarterly, we could do it once up front. It's however each legislator wishes to have their funds paid to them. But taxes would be taken out each time. And I should mention that the larger gross amount of the check, the more taxes will come out at that original time. So if we do smaller disbursements, the taxes will be less. And we can do payroll calculations on that if you call them.
When you have orientation, I assume that still will go on the first week there of January something, all this will be clearly explained to all incoming legislators, well, as well as staff.
That's correct. In the past, every legislator would get a memo. They would choose, and depending on what the decision is, they would get a memo saying this is what you're getting, and this is how.
Maybe we'll get the motion on the floor. Okay, go ahead.
One for clarification, and this memo says one lump sum or quarterly issue. I think I just heard you say every month.
I was trying to condense the memo. You know, I wanted to put it on one page, so it would be no difference to the accounting office whether you wanted to get a payment each month or whether it was quarterly. That was just an option I had thrown in there.
Madam Chair, I profess to be a little confused here. Are we voting on the way this memo reads? And really, that's irrespective of what this memo says. I don't believe what the motion says. It's often it says the one option chosen by legislative council, the minister, all members. So some of the discussion I've heard, it seems like there's going to be pick a choose a menu for here, but. Am I correct in my assumption that we have to pick one, two, or three? And my assumption is how I'm reading this. That's the plan for all 60 legislators. Are we today asked to pick one of these three? Sorry if I'm a little bit slow and it's not piercing the void.
No, that's correct.
That's what the memo says.
And her information was that option three had the most, with the survey, the greatest number of preference.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, though, it says right here in her memo, the one option chosen will be administered all 60, and that doesn't seem to be the tenor of the discussion occurred. It sounds like,
well, there are options within the option.
Shall I give a brief overview of the options?
Just if you could just clarify, just make it as simple, as they say, dummy it down or whatever, but if the motion were to read, I move Ledge Council based on the recent IRS rulings and independent, I'm going to wait till Representative Stoltz can hear this. Okay. I move that Legislative Council, based on recent IRS rulings and independent audit recommendation, recommend option, say, three, okay, for all 60 members of the Legislative Council, effective with the 28th legislature. Now, just very simply, tell us what that motion reads.
Very simply, that would mean that in January, each one of you, plus the new legislators, would get an option of either, if you're in the House, you would get $8,000 or $16,000. If you're in the Senate, you would get $10,000 or $20,000. And those could either be paid out on the first session as past practice, less payroll taxes, or we could contact each office individually, which we'd end up having to do anyway, and we would ask what your preference would be for a payment plan. So the taxes would be withheld in the same manner, but each legislator would be responsible for tracking their expenses. And I think you're all familiar with the non-accountable plan.
So it is kind of an option within the option that we're voting on. There's options into that. Representative Stoltz.
So, Madam Chair, this would this is obviously lighten a lot of your workload. I would assume. How many staff does it take you to do this function?
The office counts in general?
Yeah.
Through the chair, Representative Stoltz, I have three accountants in the office. One of them works solely on office allowance accounts, among with a lot of other duties, and frankly, she doesn't always have time to do her duties because the allowance accounts do take up a lot of time. We have to thoroughly review each document that is sent into our office, and a lot of times they're not clear, they're not filled out in such a way that we don't have to make a phone call to get clarity on those. So it would definitely open up some time for some more of the other jobs that need to be done within our office. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I'd like to know what the tax consequences under the new whatever taxes are going to come
with Obama, term with President Obama.
But that's probably 60%.
And the issue, you know, just to restate what she said, if you take it out all at once, the tax consequences are going to be more. But if you take it once a month, mm-hmm. a little bit, or quarterly, like, you know, it won't be.
And if I might add to that, any expenses that you have, you can keep those, and then they would be itemized deductions on your personal tax return. Yeah. So
we would do the accounting work instead of your staff.
Oh, that's good enough.
I just want
to add that kind of helps at the end. Adam, now I'm ready for a motion.
Chair, also just for clarification, you're going to be taxed at 24%, 33%, whatever it is. Just because they take out that amount doesn't mean you're either not going to get back or pay more.
Right.
It's going to be at a rate, so what they do is irrelevant. It's going to be what you do at the end of the year.
38%.
You.
Okay.
May I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council, based on recent IRS rulings and independent auditor recommendations, recommend Option 3, non-accountable plan, for all 60 members of Legislative Council effective with the 28th Legislature, with payments made in one-time lump sum, quarterly or monthly, at each legislator's choice.
Is there any further discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you, Jessica. He wants to say a compliment to you, Representative Stoltz.
I said we recommend. I thought we were taking definitive action. Craig said what I was thinking about. We're not recommending. I think we're implementing it.
We're not recommending.
I'd like at least finality of the decision.
We can change that. Do you want me to reread it?
No, I was thinking of saying
it. We're going to amend the motion. Nullify the vote and go back. Madam Chair, I remove my prior motion. I move that Legislative Council, based on recent IRS rulings and independent auditor recommendations, implement Option 3, non-accountable plan, for all 60 members of the Legislative Council for all 60 members of the legislature, effective with the 28th legislature, with payments made in one-time lump sum, quarterly or monthly, at each legislator's choice.
Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motions? Hearing none, the motions. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Point
of interest,
Senator Stevens.
Senator Cooper represents twice as many people as the representative.
Absolutely.
If you want that, I'll send someone back your way.
Can we decouple the houses?
Well, let's decouple. Let's go back to
the room. We need 1%ers, you know. You need to worry.
I think that's...
Number 14.
You want to do this tomorrow? Or, okay, today. We're just rolling out here. Okay. I am going to have yours because I did not write that on because it's not on the
I did not have it. I didn't have it.
Yes, Eddie's just a moment, please, till we get the.
Okay.
Pam, you had it from maybe before in a draft form or something with the executive session?
I have the motion. For executive session.
Where are these, Pam? We don't have to go into executive session for this, do we? We're not talking a dollar amount.
So
Very brief.
Clear the room.
All right, I'm out of here.
The chair would request that everyone clears the room except the LAA executive director. Okay. I'm back on the record because I took a short ease. We are back on record at...
Okay, Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council go into executive session per Uniform Rule 22B1 and 2, discussion of matters the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit, and discussion of a matter that may by law be required to be confidential, and ask that any legislators and the following staff remain in the room or on teleconference. Don Johnston, Pam Varney, Kathy Tilton, Doug Gardner, Tina Strong.
And my assistant, Kathy Tilton, can stay as well.
Do you want to reschedule?
You've got to get back on telephone. Yeah.
You.
Okay, we're back online. Representative Holmes.
Okay. We have a form. Yes. Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council award RFP 581, Alaska State Capital Design Services, to Jensen Yorba Law, Inc. for phases 1, 2, and 3 in the amount of $1,055,000, and phase 4 paid on a time and expense basis if needed for inspections, bidding, and construction services. Legislative capital funds are available.
Are there any discussions? Are they? Okay.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to thank you for putting this on the agenda. I can go into it a lot longer and a lot deeper, but I know that other members have prior commitments that they have to get out of here, too. But I want to thank Wayne Jensen Yorba Lot for paying his own way up here, to provide answers to any questions that we may have. Also to Building Manager Don Johnson for his help.
Any other discussions? Any objections to the motion? The motion passes.
Move to adjourn.
Recording stopped.
I know I didn't have to do that. She can do that on her own.
I know.
But
I
know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was here earlier.
Oh, he was here.
Oh.
No.
Yes. No. No.